T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Time for our regular weekly visit with Tom E. Curran of NBC Sports Boston. Tom brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Curran. Hello, Tom. How are you?
What's up, Dale? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Tom.
Just another day at the office here in beautiful downtown Boston. What did you think of Bill Belichick's open for the World Series last night?
I thought it was well done. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people heard it and said, wow, he's really good at this. But if you think back to some of the things that he's done when engaged and when motivated, whether it's that op-ed that he wrote in 2002, 37 things for whoever wins the Super Bowl to think about, that was in the New York Times, or just the different times he's, you know, he actually did some playoff work once during the postseason, I think.
And he was good.
Yeah, right.
He was very good. So I think that when that stuff, and he's engaged and he wants to do it, very good.
Now, Tom, last year, it was well documented, the defense was awful for four games, the first four games of the season. Then they really figured it out, and then obviously the Super Bowl happened. But for weeks 5 through 17, it looked like a much, much better defense. We've now seen 7 weeks of this Patriots defense. They gave up 40 points to Kansas City. They just gave up 31 to the Bears. Are we still supposed to expect this team to turn it around, or are they not going to be able to do it with the current personnel?
I think the current personnel is enough. That to me is, when we look at what happened against Kansas City, you had a breakdown by Jason McCourty on the Kareem Hunt touchdown. You had a breakdown by Daron Harmon and perhaps Devin McCourty on the long Tyreek Hill touchdown. Tyreek Hill was a horrendous matchup as the day went along for Devin McCourty. But he's a unique player. Tariq Cohen's a unique player too, although he didn't do the damage. It was Trubisky with his feet. That to me is what's maddening, is these are preventable mistakes. Now, I talked to Gerard Mayo on Quick Slants, and he thinks they need a pass rusher. And when you look at the performance from the guy that they did import, Adrian Claiborne, it's not been really that good. He's a talented guy, but he's not fitting well in the scheme, because he keeps making the same mistakes over and over again in terms of losing contain. And a lot of that fell to him the other day. So I think they have the personnel in-house. It bothers me that they could flip the switch against Miami and have that kind of performance in terms of aggressiveness and intensity, and then play the way they have for the last 10 quarters.
Trade deadline in the NFL is coming up next week. Bill Belichick has been a guy who has been willing to make deals at the trade deadline, unlike most of the NFL. But I see things like Patrick Peterson, and I don't see it happening. What's a more realistic target for Belichick at the deadline?
Right. And I wrote that today. Speaking to people, I was able to find that there is not any Patrick Peterson interest. Not one single conversation, quote, has been held on Patrick Peterson. And I was told it's a waste of time to spend any time on Patrick Peterson. And
I feel like we heard that about Josh Gordon in a way. Didn't we at one point? I feel like people said no on Josh Gordon, and then it happened.
Well, there was no on Josh Gordon for a period of time in terms of they weren't having him in. And there was certainly, I got many no's on Dez Bryant. And that was,
well, those
that
were
came
right.
to pass.
Yeah, those were so, right.
Yeah, those were right. Listen, what I'm telling you is what I'm telling you. I mean, it is what
no,
it is.
No, I'm just saying. So what do you think that Patrick Peterson is just because of the money that he makes, or do they just say, hey, we like our team? Okay.
I mean, he's on the books for $11 million, and he's got 2 more years on the contract. So does Stephon Gilmore. As Miguel Benzant did a great job and always does on the cap stuff and trying to make it easily understandable. He writes that the Patriots made that tweak to Gilmore's contract last week to bring him down, bring his number down so the Patriots could have more cap room. But Miguel explained, and it's on my podcast, that the Patriots did that in part because so many players have incentive-laden contracts that when they hit some of these not likely to be earned incentives, like playing time, like per game bonuses, that immediately hits the cap. It doesn't get put off until 2019. So the Patriots need to squirrel away some money so that they are in cap compliance all the way through. So half of that money is going to go to that. Patrick Peterson makes $670,000 a game. If the Patriots acquired him in the next week, they'd owe him $6 million or so for the rest of the year. They just don't have it unless they redid someone like Brady. And that's a whole different conversation than we've had for the last 18 months.
Well, speaking of unlikely to reach some of these bonuses, Rob Gronkowski was cost a fair chunk of money by not being able to play in Chicago last week. According to Bill Belichick, they really hadn't made a final decision until Sunday morning. What's your gut feeling about next Monday in Buffalo?
I don't have one. I mean, these back spasms from the reports, I mean, the back spasms cropped up on Friday and he immediately emerged on the injury report. So for me to sit here on Wednesday afternoon and say, yeah, I think he's going to play, it's just spitting into the wind. I have no idea. I might get hit with it. I might not. If he has back spasms again, I'd say no.
Now, the running back situation we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and I think we asked you, you know, if it's just James White and Sony Michel, is that enough? You said you didn't think so, and I agreed with you just because, you know, Sony Michel, just the way he started the year, did we really expect him to be healthy and get 20 carries every single week? Looks like they did. You know, it could have been a lot worse what happened in Chicago for Sony Michel, but even still, isn't that more reason to find somebody? I don't know if it's trade. I don't know if it's Mike Gillisley or what, but would you expect another running back in here at some time?
I also expected that, and that's not happening at this point either. Not really a lot out there that's floating their particular boat. But again, you have James White carried the ball 11 times the other day. That's a career high. Kenyon Barner carried it 10. That's his career high. There's nobody else to carry the ball unless you want to run Cordarrelle Patterson on 37 jet sweeps. So the running game is going to go away, unfortunately, I would think, as it was constituted for the last month, because that's what Sony Michel brought you. I mean, if you know, I've heard people talk about, oh, it's blocked a particular way and the holes are opening and Michel is just the beneficiary of all this room that he's been afforded. And that's true to a degree. But he also runs with a particular style and gets stuff through contact at the end of runs that I think other players will not. And I think that because of the way he runs, linebackers would have taken some false steps in play action. That's going to go away as well. So it's a tough loss, but right now it doesn't seem, from the people I've spoken to and communicated with, that they're in the market.
Rob Ninkovich said to us on Monday, he doesn't understand why people seem hesitant to just say, James White is one of the best at what he does in the National Football League. They like to use terms like a smart player, underrated player. He's on a pace for 103 catches right now. His career high is 60, which gives you an idea of the kind of year that he's having. Hasn't he kind of graduated a bit to and in Ninkovich's mind to being one of those elite backs now?
Elite? I would say that's pushing it, but statistically, yeah, he's extremely productive, never makes a mistake, gets everything that's there for him. I think what makes me reticent, at least, and again, I talked to Mayo about this on our show. We talked about James White. This was Mayo's appraisal of James White. When he started in 2014, he was poo. End quote. This
that's
is a
tough
player who has, he improved, and the improvement really came in 2016 and 17. So just like with a player who's drafted not in the first round and you see his foibles early in his career, sometimes people are reticent to say, hey, this is a really good player. But I think that James White should be considered a really good player. He's not Todd Gurley. He's not even Darren Sproles. But he's in the class. How long he'll be there, I don't know. But he's a very, very good player. And just as with any other number of players the Patriots have had, he gets what he's supposed to do for this team, and he does it. And I just don't know why sometimes it has to be this wide celebration and anointing of a player as, you know, universally beloved and appreciated when just being able to be really good for the team you're on should be plenty.
After a 1-2 start, they've ripped off four straight wins, including, you know, a couple of weeks ago against Kansas City. Do you think the Patriots are back to being the best team in the conference?
Boy, I would think that probably Kansas City would still have something to say about that, just based on how they roll out every week and are seemingly giving fairly consistent performances. You know, the Patriots performance last week, you know, last week it might've been, yeah, you'd have to say the Patriots are better than Kansas City, even though Kansas City lost at the buzzer on the road. I still think Kansas City can lay claim to the mythical number one in the AFC title here in October.
All right, so they go to Buffalo on Monday. I know Bill Belichick is trying to convince you that these are the 86th Chicago Bears. I don't think they are. I guess he has to do that because that's his job. But realistically, do the Bills have much of a chance Monday night?
I can't imagine they do. I think you're going to – Derek Anderson's going to start for them. Defensively, they're not able to do a lot. They just get their heads caved in by Indianapolis. So – I think we're going to have a hell of a lot of trade deadline talk between now and the Bills game on Monday night.
What was the stat I saw today, by the way? I believe Derek Anderson is the 13th starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills in the Tom Brady era.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite? I think J.P. Lossman's in my top four.
Lossman I like. I mean, hard to not like Kelly Holcomb.
Whoa!
Nice player. What do you think? Then a lot of guys.
Did Billy Joe Tolliver? Who was the guy who didn't study?
That sounds
I feel that's probably several of them.
Yeah, there may be.
No, there was a guy who didn't study. He got forced into the game. He was like, yeah, I just didn't prepare.
I wasn't ready.
Well, this week or last week was great. Derek Anderson was on the team like 10 days, and he was their starting quarterback against the Colts. And that did not go well.
Ooh.
That did not go well for them at all. That,
no, but they managed five, and that was one of only 16 times, according to my friend Tim Graham up in Buffalo. One of only 16 times the final score included a five. But I do want to go back to the trade deadline stuff for a quick second, because I do think that, as Dale mentioned, it hasn't been something that the rest of the NFL really engages in on the regular. But what we're seeing right now is, and I don't know exactly why, I'm trying to talk to some people in the league about why this has turned into a more NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL type of trade deadline where people get active. I don't know if it's the cost of players and the ability to save money, but you know, you see the Giants are going through a fire sale right now. Oakland obviously has been ongoing with theirs. But if you look at the Patriots, Mayo feels that the best place for them to address is on the edge with a defensive pass rusher, with a pass rusher of some sort who can bring more pressure. So Shane Ray is the guy who most folks look at, Denver Broncos, as being a guy. So if everyone wants to Google Shane Ray and see what he can afford the Patriots.
Great, great college player. Now, would you say, Tom, it's, you know, the deadline, yeah, they bring in guys, and you go back to like Aqib Talib or some others that they've brought in that have been pretty big impact, but it's also been a time where they've gotten rid of some players and really surprised, like Jamie Collins, I remember being shocked by that. And then, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, for other reasons, we were surprised by that. Do you think it's more likely that they bring in a player that's going to help them, or are there some candidates that could be some surprise guys that get dealt away? The perfect question.
And you killed him. You killed him.
And now, out of all the questions we asked, that's the one I wanted the answer to the most. And he's gone.
And you killed him.
Just like that. I made Tom disappear. That question.
You did that 2 weeks in a row.
I really have. That was a good question. That was a good, strong question.
You bastard.
I know. Don't you want to know that? Like, could we see another Jamie Collins this year?
Tom said, I can't possibly answer this. I better just go.
He's like, I know too much. Maybe Belichick pulled the plug on that. He's like, Tom knows. Tom knows exactly that, you know, Hightower is getting traded or somebody like that is getting dealt. Because that's always a weird one where you're like, you're trying to add to this team. It's a Super Bowl contender, and then they trade him away. Like, the Collins one was just bizarre. Now, it worked out. Tom, please.
That wasn't me.
Please.
That wasn't me.
No, I'm not blaming you.
It was Belichick.
I think it was the Patriots because they know that you're gonna blow us away with this answer here. Did you hear my question?
I heard.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Here's
okay,
the question.
Thanks for calling.
Now, my point was, and I'll set it up again for the listener. My point was, not only are they active at the deadline, you know, bringing in players that can help them, but we've also seen really big name players get traded away and really surprising ones like Jamie Collins. Jimmy Garoppolo got traded at the deadline. Could there be a candidate that nobody sees coming that could get dealt away from the Patriots?
It's a great question because right now, and again, I'm going to give credit to Miguel because he's able to point out, you know, how close they are to the cap. And the ways to rectify being as close to the cap as they are to move some of these big numbers. The Patriots right now have less cap space in the middle of the year than they've had in a long time. The way to rectify that is bring down some of the numbers. Well, the numbers belong to Brady at $22 million, Gronkowski at $11.5 million,
McCourty at 11.5, Hightower at 8.5, and then Gilmore, I think, is like at 8.5, down from 12 since his tweet. So there's a lot of players there who could be played with and moved if you wanted to. And I think that's part of the reason that Gronkowski was on the trade block in April. You know, they knew, look, if we can move this guy, we won't encounter the problem during the season cap-wise that we may encounter. Well, he put the kibosh on that, and now they're encountering that to an extent. So would any team trade for Rob Gronkowski if the Patriots put him out there and he's already made it clear that he's not going to go? I doubt it. Could they do something with McCourty? I don't know, man. I would say everything's in play. How's that?
Oh, I love it. I love that. Well,
Keith, you could be traded.
I'll keep an eye on it. I know I could be.
You don't know.
It would not shock me.
Untouchable. Plus, he is so... it's a team-friendly contract with Keith.
I for sure do. That I think we can all agree on.
All right. Thanks for checking back in, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. Not your fault.
Hey,
you
know, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, thanks.
Tom.
We appreciate it.
We'll talk to you next week.
Don't ever, ever call us on that device again.
Are we done with that? I mean, that's a little inside radio, but we try something different, like a sweeter connection. But
well,
it
does sound better.
It sounds good.
When it works.
It's 50-50 at best that he makes it through the call, though.
It's good odds.
You like 50-50?
Well, if you're hitting in the World Series this week.
That's true. If you're like Rafael Devers.
Where else are you going to get good gems like this, though?
Let's hear it. I'm ready for it. Whenever you're ready.
Hit a button.
Are you a player that's going to help them? Or are there some candidates that could be some surprise guys that get dealt away? Nothing. Radio silence.
The anticipation.
Yeah.
It was just delicious, wasn't it?
No.
And there he is. He's back. But that's always one thing to look out for, because you think things are going well, and they are going well. And then, you know, again, they trade Jamie Collins, and it didn't stop them from doing what they wanted to do at the end of the year. But that was a surprise. And so are there guys on the team that you think are a starter right now that Belichick just thinks differently than most people? And then all of a sudden they're gone. You're like, well, wait a minute. He was on your starting defense. Or like he was an important player. Like, nah, I don't care. We're thinking about now, but we're also thinking about the future at all times.
They will make a deal.
They will absolutely make a deal. They'll do one of those things where they trade a fifth, they get a sixth. Actually, I don't even know if they have a fifth, but you get the idea. They round, they get a round later,
and a player.
And then they get the player that they want, like an Akeem Ayers.
Some linebacker that you've not heard of,
right?
Who all of a sudden becomes Akeem Hicks or something.
Then is a great player.
Yeah,
he's really good, by the way. But yeah, like Kyle Van Noy.
How come we can't get player? No, never mind.
I know, Bob.
It's an old joke. Look, I do think they'll make a move. I do think they have some needs. Now, if they don't put a running back on this team, then that's probably pretty good indication that they feel pretty strongly and safely about Sony Michel.
Yeah, they do. I mean, because obviously you get into a game like last week, and the Patriots are going to have a lot of games where they have the lead, and you're going to try to just salt the game away. And then when you don't have Sony Michel, you turn around, and you really have two kind of pass-catching backs. You know, James White, and then Kenyon Barner, who's even more of like a return guy. And they have to combine for over 20 carries. That's probably not the game plan that they wanted. So, yeah, hopefully Sony Michel, that was just a scare, and he's able to return and go back to what he was doing. But they usually have a lot of depth at the position. They have two guys that everybody likes. I mean, I like both those guys a lot. But are you going to be able to go from now until the end of the playoffs with just those two? I'd be surprised.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us if you'd prefer at 37937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hold on. Let me grab you guys off speed.
Oh, that'd be great. Perfect.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Could you sound great?
Could you maybe pass that tip on to Tom Curran?
Yeah, next time.
Never mind.
That's all right.
Yeah, let me pop my car. It's a bit windy out here.
It's not a whole lot better than Tom Curran's was.
Yeah. What do you got?
All right. So, the way I see it, paying Cordarrelle Patterson, like, really well, right?
Yeah, pretty well.
So,
yeah.
Big guy, nice build, doesn't really shy away from contact on kick return, right?
Okay.
But because of his size, and because he can take a handoff and his elusiveness, why not run him a couple of plays out of the backfield? You can throw him a toss, a quick little slant, jet sweep. He could even run off guard and off tackle too.
You're a little higher on Patterson than I am.
Than everybody else is.
We also saw him fumble, right, this last game. I just feel like you don't want to run him too much. Now, maybe you do an end around once a game. Maybe you do one of those quick screens once a game. But I'm all in favor of limiting Cordarrelle Patterson on offense. I think he's an overpaid return man, but I'm not going to force him into the offense.
But you don't think that he can be serviceable out of the backfield just a few plays a game?
I doubt it.
I guess the definition of few. Like, I'll do it once.
We saw him put the ball on the ground last week.
That's what I'm saying.
If you run him a few times out of the backfield, what are the chances he's going to put the ball on the ground for you?
I'm not wild about
it. On the second return, he wrapped up the ball with both arms. I watched.
He made up for it, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm not wild about him. I'm not. Obviously, Belichick likes him.
You haven't liked him since they got him.
And I like fast guys, but he's just so
You didn't actually
limited.
Say he sucks, he blows, but it was an inference I got.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all about Patterson. I just thought he is an elite kick returner, but that position's getting phased out of the league. Like, it's easy to not kick to him. Well, most teams have a kicker that can just kick it through the back of the end zone. That's what you should do against Patterson. That's what the Patriots did last year when they faced Patterson. They didn't kick to him. They would do the pooch kick to every team, and then Patterson, they're like, no, we're not doing that.
We're not taking a chance.
But, I mean, that was dumb. The Bears kicked to him last week. They got an advantage once by recovering a fumble, and then they also gave up a touchdown the other time. So, not a good idea.
617-77.
Oh, no. Dale, could it be?
We're going to replay Raphael?
I hope so. It was that good.
It's your birthday today.
Chris.
It's your birthday today.
Chris. Doesn't Chris. Narrow it down for me.
All right. Chris Sale?
No, not Chris Sale.
Chris Gronkowski?
Absolutely not.
Chris Turfer Columbus?
Well done.
Chris Christopherson.
We're doing a Patriot segment.
Patriot segment, okay. Chris Slade.
No.
What? No. You don't like Chris Slade?
Chris Slade?
You don't like Chris Slade?
Wow.
I love Chris Slade. Chris.
Karen Chris Roster. Hogan.
Kringle.
Yeah.
Hogan, nice. Now, I was all around it. I got there almost as quick as Dale, maybe a little
there.
Bit before.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on real blast now. There's another one. There's a third
Don't
one.
You oh, even yeah, go, yeah, I know.
There's
by the way,
third one, and I want if you pull this one out,
I'm not going to be able to. But I have something. No, I got something up my sleeve. One.
By the way, happy 30th birthday to Chris Hogan.
Open your gifts.
Who's now past his prime?
Okay.
30. See you later. It all goes downhill, Chris. Take my words of advice. It goes downhill after 30. You can't eat what you want anymore. You kind of turn into a fat pig.
Would you?
You have 34 minutes to pull this off. If you don't come up with this third one,
oh,
you are an abject failure.
And I almost hope we're on different pages. That'll make it even better.
That might be. That
might
be a lot better. Yes.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI. Red Sox, Dodgers. WEEI's coverage of the World Series is brought to you by Patriot Place in Foxborough, Old Dominion Freight Line, and Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
My name is Chase.
Chase, how excited are you for this?
1 to 100, 1,000, like what, over 1,000. It's my first World Series game while being at it, and I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped.
Okay, you're going to have to give me a little background here.
Dude was pumped.
I understand. Who was the little dude who was pumped? Chase. I don't know who Chase is.
Listen to that reaction, though. It was a kid they found outside of the park. They just went up to him. They
who
were doing
found
some interviews.
Him?
On the news.
Oh. The news?
My name is Chase.
Chase, how excited are you for this?
1 to 100, 1,000. Like, what, over 1,000. It's my first World Series game while being at it. And I'm pumped. I'm absolutely pumped.
It's the way it should be.
Who said kids didn't like baseball anymore?
He sounds like your cosplay guy.
Oh, Joshua Adams?
He does. He does sort of sound like Joshua Adams.
A little bit.
He doesn't
he? He's so lucky to grow up to be Joshua Adams.
That's probably what his goal is.
Yeah.
Someday I hope to wear a stupid costume and go to conventions.
Joshua did not. He just documented cosplay. He did not take part himself. The whole thing.
So he didn't have the courage to go full bore then?
No, he was just wearing a shirt with a hole in it.
And a mustard stick.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But that kid was fired up. Was there a reason you wanted to play that, Rossi? Just you wanted to play that for some reason?
Yeah, that's exciting stuff.
Okay.
Anyway.
I got a couple of numbers for you.
Oh, I got some numbers too. What? Oh. You give
Mega
me
ball
your
numbers?
Number.
Mega?
No, none of us won that.
Stop it. Come on.
Although you were in South Carolina.
I was.
While you were, that the one
The winners from there?
South Carolina. One winner
oh,
out of South
them.
Carolina.
Good for them.
according to the math, the $1.6 billion,
yeah,
the one-time payout is $900 million. After taxes, you only get to take home $600 million.
Ugh, we didn't want it.
Give away $1 billion?
$1 billion? Not fair.
So anyway, I've got some numbers courtesy of Buster Olney.
All right, Buster.
The Boston bullpen ERA in the eighth inning this postseason, 0.90.
Woo!
That's your eighth inning number.
And that's mostly... Thank you, Elias.
No, I said Buster.
Oh, Buster Olney. But he probably got it from Elias.
Hello, I am Elias.
Thank you, Elias. So that's mostly starters, right?
Yeah, a lot of
guys. Almost like all of it is starters.
Uvalde and Porcello.
Even
and
Sale. You know, going
even
back
Sale.
To yeah.
The Red Sox have played the Yankees, Astros, and Dodgers, as you know. They're 8-2 in the postseason.
That's right.
They've outscored their opponents 64-39.
And to take it
one step further... 32 of the 64 runs have come with two outs.
The half the runs.
Half
That's
of their
quick
runs.
Math.
Yeah, thank
half
you.
The runs. You're welcome.
Math isn't as hard as I thought for
also,
you.
Also, if you were paying attention to Keith's keys yesterday, and I know
and
that
who
you were.
Weren't.
I know that you were. The first key was score first. So what did the Red Sox do? They scored first.
Is it 82-15, I think, for the year?
Is that what it is?
The entire year. I believe they are now 82-15. No, we're not bringing them back for now.
In the playoffs, they're 8-0 when they score first. That's ridiculous. I don't know why it's that lopsided. And even still, you know, the Dodgers ended up tying the game, but then they got the lead right back. You know, so they're up 2-0 after the first. Then they go into the bottom of the third. It's 2-2. They score right away. So just an incredible stat. You know, and then the two times that they were not able to score first were their only losses. You know, Yankees and Astros, one each. So... just pretty remarkable what they've been able to do. I always like to look up batter versus pitcher stats, and I know that coward Keith Law doesn't care about them.
Wow.
He
went right to coward.
He is.
You know, I'm glad to see you've let this go.
I have. Yeah. Of course I haven't. Why would I? Anyway, very, very little at-bats against Ryu, which makes sense. Only four players on the Red Sox active roster have even faced Ryu in their
career. Makes sense, sure.
Ian Kinsler is 2-for-3 with a double.
He's playing second base.
That's pretty good. Oh, yeah. Keith, hold on. Let me get these stats out. JD Martinez is 2-for-7 with a double.
He's playing. Well, he was playing anyway.
Yeah. Eduardo Nunez is 0-for-3, and Steve Pierce is 1-for-3.
And to know the longitudinal waves cause the erratic oscillation. You can see it there.
Keith, I'm telling you, these are important stats. Now, these are not, I'll admit, these are very small sample size, but. Add them all up, 5 of 16. So, or 5 4 16.
Kill this
so, 3-13 against Ryu.
How about the other way around?
I would think a similar...
How about against David Price?
Oh, I can look that up. I'm efforting. Now, I would say it's going to be a similar lineup to last day, wouldn't you think? Against
yes.
against the lefty?
I would just trot those same guys
out there.
The only difference might be the leadoff guy. That was an unusual alignment for Dave Roberts with the leadoff man. But other than that, yeah, probably.
No, I'm saying for the...
Oh, for the Red Sox?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're both teams are going lefty-lefty.
Yeah.
So a lot more guys. Obviously, Manny Machado has faced David Price a ton of times. He is 12 of 41 with 5 home runs against him. So that's pretty good. It's a 293 clip, but the 5 home runs is pretty impressive. Brian Dozier is homered twice against David Price in 39 at-bats. Only 9 hits. That's a 231. Everybody else is 4 at-bats or less. So Manny Machado has really good numbers against him. That's really the one thing that stands out. But that's no surprise. Obviously, he's been in the same division for years.
I was so rooting against him last night, and damn it if he didn't have 3 RBIs.
3 RBIs. You know Pedroia was doing like little silent fist pumps.
Well, the one especially where he grounded out to knock in a run, and he's clapping on his way down the first baseline.
Yeah, he's annoying.
You just want to give him a punch.
Even that play that when Mookie Betts was stealing, and I know the ball kind of went up there, but it looked like Machado was trying to knee him in the face. That's what I was thinking he was going to do. He, like, came way off the bat.
I know.
Like, what? And then even Betts kind of slid around him and was like, kidding me with this? But there'll be something. That was only one game. There'll be something. So if you're Steve Pierce, watch your ankles. If you're Bogarts or Kinsler, watch out. He'll do something by the end of the series for sure.
He's a bit of a whack job.
He is. He's a good player.
He's the wrestling heel. As I said, going into this series, the wrestling heel.
Yeah. Good player. Remember all the trade rumors? Remember, you know, Rafael Devers for Machado?
Yeah.
Or I mean, that was the starting price, really.
Yeah, Seal Puig for JBJ.
That was another one before. I'd still do that.
I was going to say, I might be willing to do that.
I would still do that one. But, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, I mean, you know, Manny Machado is clearly the villain. And maybe that's enough. But I wouldn't be surprised if tonight, especially if they're trailing, they're already down 1-0 in the series, and if they're losing in the game, and if Manny Machado's on base, definitely some cheap stuff is going to happen.
I'm trying to think of a move that because Alex Cora pulls stuff out of his butt sometimes, which you hate at the time he's doing it. See last night with Eduardo Nunez.
Although maybe now
some
we should
move
just say...
he'll pull out of his butt and you'll go, what is he? Oh, okay, good call.
Yeah, like what are you doing? Now, I don't know if they go back with Sandy Leon tonight or do you go to Vasquez?
Well, Sandy Leon was ripping the cover off the ball last
two
night.
Two hits, two smoke shots. So maybe
exit
they keep
velocity,
Sandy there.
59.
Sandy gets in one of these hot streaks. It's going to be hard to sit Sandy. So maybe you get more of Sandy Leon. Steve Pierce, I mean, do you bat him third again? Do you keep him up there
I
in the lineup?
I love that.
Yeah, I know. He does. He crushes lefties, though.
Yeah. You're
going back-to-back. Now, I know last night he didn't crush it, Kershaw, but back-to-back lefties, maybe you do, because game three you're going to see a righty, and then you're back to a lefty right in game four. I assume Rich Hill.
We were asking this question earlier in the show because people are remarking about the hot streak Alex Cora's on.
Yeah,
it's almost a season-long hot streak, but
yeah.
In the playoffs it's really accentuated. And you're always left with, is it luck or does he know stuff?
I was going to say, some of it has to be luck. It just is. Like, just, you know, with the odds and, like, what certain guys do.
I mean,
and,
did he think Nunez was going to hit a home run? Probably not. Did he have a good idea that Nunez was going to do something? Yeah, he probably did.
Yeah, he obviously, you know, and they look at numbers, but there's also, you know, other stuff that goes into it with him. But, yeah, he has hit a lot of the right buttons. They do have a very skilled team. Like, that, I don't know if that necessarily gets overlooked, but that is the reality. I mean, you got the MVP, you got another guy that should be top five in the MVP. Bogarts and Benintendi both had unbelievable years. Mm-hmm. The guy gets lost up, like career years for both of them, but not nearly as good as Betts. And then he has other guys that can kind of get hot. You know, Devers has been a good playoff player. Bradley, let's face it, he's not a great hitter, but timely hits in the ALCS. And then you have other guys that have come through at certain times as well. So the lineup is good. This is the one series that I look at it and they say they have a tremendous advantage in their lineup compared to.
And as it turns
LA's
out,
lineup.
They had a tremendous advantage in the other series too. We just
well,
didn't,
they
we
did.
Didn't acknowledge it.
No, they ended up having an advantage, but I think just personnel wise, like they played better in the series. But I think if you stack them up personnel wise, it's a lot more even with the American League teams than it is with the Dodgers. Like you're looking at, you know, guys like David Freese. I know he had a good playoff run a while ago, but him hitting third, Dozier hitting leadoff, like, I don't know.
They're 8-2 and have outscored the opposition 64-39. I would say they had a pretty decided advantage.
No, but, yeah, I know they played better in the series, but I think you can stack up the talent for Houston. Like, Altuve and Springer and Correa and, obviously, Bregman, that's better than Dozier, Turner, Freese, Machado, Taylor, Kemp.
If the Red Sox win the World Series, they'll finish the year with 119 wins. The only Major League Baseball World Series winning team that would end the year with more wins was the 1998 Yankees. They had 125.
Oh, yeah. What did they win in the regular season? They won a ton, right? Yeah, they were nuts.
So that'll be the only team. If the Red Sox win, they'll finish with 119. Only the 98 Yankees will have finished the year with more wins. And it goes back to the question we were asking yesterday. If they win this thing, are they the best Red Sox team of all time? Clearly.
Yeah, they are. And there's enough of a gap because I think everybody would point to 04 and say the 2004 team was the best team. You have a guy winning the batting title hitting ninth.
Yep.
You have two real MVP candidates. You had a great rotation. You have multiple Hall of Famers, or at least should be Hall of Famers on the team. And if you want to say the league was a little bit more competitive then, you say, all right, you're not going to win as many games in the regular season. But this team won 12 more regular season games, and they faced two really good playoff teams.
100-win team and 103-win team.
And the defending World Series champs. So I think it was a tougher road to get to the World Series, and they only lost two games on their way there.
All right, so if going into the playoffs, if I said who's the best team in Major League Baseball, you probably would have said the Red Sox. 108 wins, they have the most wins.
I like the Astros, right, so, but yes.
All right, so the second best team was?
Houston.
The third best team was?
Probably the Indians.
I don't think so.
I think Rossi, what are you talking about? The Indians were great.
The Yankees were better than
the Yankees
Indians.
Had a better record.
Well, they were better.
Better team was the Yankees.
I thought the Indians were better.
And then the fourth best team, you were going to say Indians again, I guess, where I would have said
Dodgers.
Well,
they can't be third and fourth.
I would have said Dodgers.
They can't be third and fourth.
My point is, my ranking...
Oh, they beat
the
all
Red
the best
Sox
teams.
Would have beaten the three other best teams in Major League Baseball.
And then so their BCS ranking would be through the roof.
BCS.
Dale's doing the college football thing where you just put like teams that aren't as good higher, so it makes the team that wins
and better.
And
they beat all those teams. No, but I mean, you can't argue with the overall records. I mean, you beat 200-win teams, and then you beat the National
League
champ. The
best the National League had to offer.
Right. So that's pretty good.
Making their second consecutive World Series appearance, by the way.
Well, that's actually also impressive. You beat both the teams that were in the World Series last year. Or they're on their way to, anyway.
If you do.
Yeah.
Steve's in Portsmouth. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. That was a great point, Dale. And then keep throwing in the Indians
Thank you.
There. The Indians were forever 500 against the LA Rays. Less than
I'm so
league.
Stupid, Steve. I'm so dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm so dumb.
Exactly.
I'm so dumb.
Rich, Steve, you are. Okay, of course, you can't say that to me, man. I literally think you're the best. Steve, take your time. Whatever you want to say, that's a true statement. I've been following you since the hub, and you're the reason I switched over to the 93.7. But
yes,
also, dude, we got to talk about Cora. We got to talk about it's not luck. This guy is literally. He is literally managing baseball exactly how it's supposed to be managing baseball in this exact moment. You know, he understands the game. He understands his team. They understand him. It's just unbelievable. This team is, you know, they're going to do it. Sox in four, Sox in five, you know, at absolute most.
I love it, Steve. Great call. Great points. Great thoughts
You're
all
astute,
around.
Very astute, my man.
He even didn't get distracted by Rossi's ridiculous horn that he keeps forcing on us. So
it's
great call
horn,
all around.
It's a siren. It's just Whatever as ridiculous.
I hate it.
Whatever term we put on it.
Sounds
just...
like a foghorn. What's a foghorn sound like?
Not that.
Foghorn leghorn.
Not
thanks, Rossi. Great.
What does it sound like?
Yeah.
Not that.
Do you want to know what a foghorn sounds
yes,
like?
Yes, I do. Do you have that on the ready? Oh, you
no!
son of a gun.
Let's see if he
you
does it.
Son of a gun.
Let's see.
It's your birthday today.
Jaylen. Yes, he got it!
Dale's going to jump in there if you miss this one.
Jaylen
Brown, 22 years young today.
Happy birthday, Jaylen Brown. 8 years younger than Chris Hogan. So much life left. Way to go, Jaylen.
Okay, Rossi, tell the truth. Who did it?
I did it.
You that is not you, is it?
I swear it is. Here comes another part of it.
Okay, hold on.
Who did what?
Jaylen.
Oh, okay.
These are all live.
Jaylen.
I got to give him credit. I mean, he had to manufacture this one because they didn't have this one. So good for you. Well done, Rossi. We were on the same page.
Open your gifts.
What else you got? Coming up next, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, a couple of things that we didn't get to during the course of the program.
What else you got?
Oh, Dale, what else you got? Or
well,
ya got?
Well, yeah.
I have
very exciting news from Tom Brady.
Oh, I love news from Tom Brady.
Tom Brady speaking to Jim Gray, of course, last night,
Scratchy.
Monday Night
yeah.
Football.
Yeah.
He's with Scratchy. He had some very big news that he wanted to share.
And you can hear that Monday night game right here on Westwood One. And Tom, you will not be with us at halftime. You're busy. But we're getting the better half of the family. We're pleased to announce that Giselle is going to join us at halftime on next week's Monday Night Halftime Report.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that after the game. She's going to tell me all about it. You know what? I don't think halftime's long enough for all she's got to say.
She may take your job. She's probably going to be have a lot to say and a lot of insights. So we look forward to that. Tom, best of luck against the Bills. Will join us in the pregame, and we appreciate your time. Have a good week.
So, obviously, Tom's playing in the Monday Night Football
That's
game.
Right.
So, he can't join Scratchy.
Dodgers, W-E-I.
We're just hitting any button we find in there, aren't
Jason,
we?
Jason, we have a couple minutes left. Let us finish the show real quick.
So he's going to be busy. He can't join Scratchy.
So, Giselle.
So they're saying, well, we got to have somebody on in place of Tom.
Did you hear Gray do all he could to say she's going to be a lot better than you?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's what he's
she's
really
not going
to
say
she'll stuff. Definitely better than you.
She's
I mean,
you know what? I don't think halftime's long enough for all she's got to say.
She may take your job. She's probably going to be a lot.
He's going to say a lot better than you. He may mention how many concussions you have had that you've covered up from the league. She may mention that again.
So, Giselle, Westwood One, next Monday, halftime.
Yes.
Yes. No Tom Brady with Scratchy.
No.
It'll be Giselle. She might get the guitar out and sing. I mean, we don't know.
You never know. It could happen.
It could be wacky. So
that's true.
We'll keep an eye out for that. Your calendars for next Monday.
No, what else you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dale. Going into the year, we thought the Celtics, or at least I thought the Celtics, were going to run away with the Eastern Conference. And it is very early, but some of the teams look pretty good. Toronto off to a 4-0 start. Milwaukee is 3-0. And then Detroit knocked off Philly last night. Detroit is 3-0. Blake Griffin, who I've always liked. A lot of people think he's maybe overrated. Oh, I disagree.
Up a 50 burger.
50, including an and one to win the game in overtime. Yeah. So 50 points. So Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, it's an interesting front line because so many teams are small across the league. Then Detroit has two guys that can both rebound with the best of them, and they got a couple of other scorers. So Celtics kind of treading water right now, off to a 2-2 start. They're back in action tomorrow against the Thunder, which is good because there's no Red Sox game, so you can pay attention to them. And the Bruins are on tomorrow as well, right?
Yeah. So oh, that's right.
No, they're both
we're not going head-to-head.
No.
Baby.
So that'll be good. But, yeah, so the Detroit Pistons, I did not expect much from them, but early on they look pretty good, including Blake Griffin.
All right. We got to get out of here. OMF's at Fenway, right?
They got to be. Yes, them. They are.
No, I assume.
Yeah, I got the approval of yes.
World Series Game 2 is tonight, Rossi. I never heard that.
Yes. Yeah.
Now you can play whatever you were going to play before.
Which is almost anything.
Well, that was a mistake.
There have been so few of those today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye.
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 Thank you.
For stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.